Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
His word is a lamp to our feet. And if we follow him step by step, because there's a kind of progressive thing that is worked out in this, it will take us to the destination point where we want to go. And you see, what we need to do is to be responding to the word of God. If we're following the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He guides us into all the truth of the word. So there will be something of the word for us to respond to every day that will take us further towards the goal. Are you there? His word is a lamp to our feet. So what we need is the Spirit and the word to be working each day so that we can take the next step. Amen? Progress is to take the next step. Progress is not to wish we were there at the goal, but it's to respond with faith and obedience to what God is saying each day. Now, the subject for today is the wisdom of God, that Jesus is our wisdom from God. It's so good that this has fallen on a Sunday, because the whole of our seeking of God is focused around this truth. And so I just want to talk for 3 or 4 minutes about what it means to say that Jesus is our wisdom from God. Are you there? He is, if you've got your Bible, you can turn, if you like, just to 1 Corinthians 1:30 for a moment. It is only through God's own work of grace that you now live in Christ Jesus and are one with him. Right, now let's be clear about this, right? We're going to walk according to the truth. The word of truth and the spirit of truth are going to take us to the destination. Are we there? Okay, so it's only through God's own work of grace that we now live in Christ Jesus. So, you are taking this walk in Christ Jesus. Are we there? You're not trying to get into him, you're in him. And that means you're at one with him. So you are already at one with him. Jesus himself has become for us, not will become, but has become for us who believe, the true wisdom that God has supplied. Now, wisdom is a person. So if we're walking in Christ Jesus, we're walking in God's wisdom. Are you there? Now, what is this wisdom? He is our righteousness. He is our holiness. He is our redemption. Now, what does this mean in practice? It means that as you're seeking the Lord, as the Spirit and the Word are working in you each day, you're not trying to become righteous. You're not trying to become holy. You're not trying to be redeemed. You are in Christ each step of the way, yes? Christ is in you, so the holiness of Christ is in you. Are you there? The righteousness of Christ is in you. Yes? The redemption of Christ is already a fact. You belong to him because he's paid the price for you. Are you there? Are you breathing? Okay. So, there's no point in praying in such a way that you're trying to make yourself holy, trying to become righteous, trying to get redeemed. Sort of lying on your face for a long time just thinking about yourself doesn't get you any further towards the goal. What we're doing, you see, each day, whether you're sitting, standing, kneeling, or prostrate, what we're doing is responding to the word that the Spirit brings each day. Now, if he is my righteousness and my wisdom, and I realize, right, he lives in me, he is my righteousness, he is my wisdom, so anything that is not holy and not righteous in my life is foolish. So what I want the Holy Spirit to do is to point out the areas of foolishness, of sin. Because you see, if there are things in my life that are compromising the presence of his holiness and the presence of his righteousness, I need to get rid of those, then his holiness and righteousness are going to come forth. I'm not saying, oh God, oh Holy Spirit, come and make me holy and make me this, that, and the other. No. I've just got to respond to what the Word says. Respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Yes? Let him deal with the foolishness in my life. Let him deal. Let him show me. Look, that's not wise, is it? Because it's not righteous. That's not wise, is it? Because it's not holy. So what are you going to do about it? Oh Lord, I turn away from that. I ask you to forgive me. He says, that's good. Now you've got righteousness and holiness in that area of your life. Without, you know, sort of every bell ringing and angels floating about and magnificent experiences, you have actually progressed in righteousness and holiness because you have simply let God deal with the foolishness that is not wisdom. Now, if you turn to what it says about wisdom in James, and a good thing to do is to go through the key themes in the study version on wisdom. But if you look at James chapter 3, it says, the true wisdom that comes from heaven is totally different from human wisdom. First of all, it is pure. Now listen to me. If you are therefore living in the revelation of the truth, yes, Jesus is my holiness. Jesus is my righteousness. Jesus is my redemption. He is my wisdom from God. If I'm going to therefore allow him to deal with the foolishness, he's going to take me into purity. It's not going to simply be a question of, oh God, I'm so impure. Oh Lord, make me pure. He says, right, I'm going to deal with all these foolish things, then you will become pure. In the way you live. Are you there? It makes it promotes a life of peace. You see, what causes a lack of peace in your life is the foolishness. Or the things that are inconsistent with the righteousness and holiness of God. Are you there? It makes people considerate towards one another. Well, that's what we want to be, isn't it? Because we've got to walk together in love. And if we love one another, we're considerate. So what's the wisdom of God? It's going to deal with all the things in our lives that result in us not being considerate to one another, judging and not forgiving and, you know, being proud and putting others down and not encouraging them. We're just going to come more and more in line with the Word. Are you there? Then it says, it makes us submissive to those in authority. Because if we're going to take the land, we've got to be a people of authority. And we can only be a people of authority if we're under authority. Right? So what's the Holy Spirit going to do? Well, it's foolish to disobey, isn't it? When I speak and give you something in my word, if you don't accept the authority of my word, that's foolishness. Come on, look, it's foolishness in this area, foolishness in that. You need to get back to the wisdom because let me deal with the foolish things, and then you will see my righteousness, my holiness, my redemption, my wisdom, my life, my power, my victory in your life. Are you getting this? Wisdom inspires people to be merciful at all times. You see, you let the Lord deal with all those negative things which are foolish. You don't want to live as a fool, do you? Hey, are you there? I said, you don't want to live as a fool. No, because you have the wisdom of God in you. You have Christ Jesus in you. You are living in Christ. Are you there? Okay, wisdom inspires people to be merciful at all times and produces fruit in their lives. How are we going to take the land? Only by the Holy Spirit producing the fruit in us. How is the fruit going to be produced in us? Through the wisdom of God, the wisdom that comes from above. Who is the wisdom that comes from above? Jesus. Where is he? Living in you. He is your holiness. He is your righteousness. He is your redemption. He is your life. He is your love. He is your power. He is your victory. He is everything. So it's just a question of getting rid of the things that conflict with him. See, some of you may be wondering, oh, I haven't had an encounter. I haven't had a real experience. No, the experience you're supposed to be having at present is just being released from all your foolishness. Of God just dealing with all those things that are a contradiction to his life in you. Hello? So causing them to be impartial and sincere, so they become peacemakers, sowing seeds of peace that produce a harvest. What's the end product? Harvest time. How is the harvest going to come? Through the wisdom of God. So you see, every day we need to keep focused on the truth. The devil cannot steal when you focus on the truth. He cannot steal from you. He cannot take Christ away from you. He cannot stop Jesus being your wisdom, your holiness, your redemption, your life, your love, your power, your victory, your all in all. He cannot take that away from you. All he will try to do is to get your eyes off the truth, off God's wisdom, and onto yourself. That would be foolish. But you see, when you see yourself in the light of God's wisdom, then you see what he needs to work in you. So let's all stand, because Pastor Clive's going to bring you a word in a minute, to which we'll all be able to respond, and God's going to do some heart work. But what I believe we need to do right now is commit ourselves to this process of walking in the wisdom of God day by day. Are you there? Okay. Let's just close our eyes. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord and say, Lord, we thank you that Jesus is our wisdom from God. And we know, Lord, that during these 40 days, it will be wise to walk in the truth and the revelation of your word. So we thank you that we're not trying to make ourselves righteous or holy, or trying to make ourselves better, or trying to be something that in order to see more and more of your activity. We thank you, Lord, that already we have the holiness of Jesus. Already he is our righteousness. Already he is our all in all. Already he is everything. But Lord, we recognize that we don't live in the full good of that. That the compromise in our lives is in some ways we trust in ourselves. In some ways, Lord, we do foolish things because they're not consistent with the life of Christ in us. And we thank you that as we focus on your word, as you bring us your word day by day, so we will see those things eradicated. And so we will see more of your holiness, more of your righteousness, more of your life, more of your power, more of your love, more of your victory coming forth in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that this will not be the result of what we do, but of what you do. That we will see more and more release of all that you put within us in the mighty name of Jesus. So we thank you that you are going to lead us step by step to the fulfillment of the plan and purpose that you have for us in these days. In the glory of your name. And all God's people said, Amen. So, as Pastor Clive brings this word now, we will respond, because that will take us further and further into the fullness that is ours in Christ. Yes? Okay, you may be seated.
Lovely. Let's stand for a minute, shall we? Just close your eyes and I love the presence of God, don't you? Just abide for a few moments in Him. Just abide in His goodness. Abide in Him. Slow to anger, rich in love. Lavished His grace upon us. Ephesians 1 says, with all understanding. Maybe it's beyond ours, but certainly with God's understanding. He lavishes us with His grace, even though we don't deserve it. Thank you, Jesus. We're taking time out, changing our lifestyle a bit over these few weeks to set aside some of what we normally do to give God space to come and fill, to come and work in us so that we can draw near to Him and He draws near to us. We draw near to the light shines. Things are revealed, we respond, He deals with them. We live more fully then in the fullness of who He is already in us. We live more in the freedom. We live more with a greater joy and release of His life. As that takes place, we see ourselves in a completely different way. We see one another in a different way. We become more slow to anger but rich in love. We become more merciful. We extend more grace because that's what's happening on the inside of us. As we've just heard, as God works in us, there's a greater sense of being at peace with Him. Therefore, we try less in our own effort and more is done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because we're not trying to do something, but actually when there's peace with God, you rest in Him even more. You trust Him even more because you realize, well, I can't do that, but God can. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Just abide in Him for a few moments. Abide in His goodness. Abide in His grace. Abide in the wonder of His unfailing love. Abide in the truth that His arm is not too short. To turn situations around, to bring release where there's been hindrance. Abide in the truth of not just the fact, but the truth that His hand is upon your life. Just abide in the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Just abide this morning in the purity, the pureness of His love and of His life that flows. It is flowing through your life. it is already flowing through your life this morning. The Holy Spirit is at work in you today. His word is at work in you this morning, right now. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who humble themselves, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's our inheritance. It's the kingdom of heaven. But part of that inheritance is God's kingdom, not just in heaven after we, once we get there, but it's heaven on earth in our day, in our time. Just humble yourself this morning. Just talk to him for a few moments. Father, I just humble myself under your mighty hand. Just talk to him. I humble myself. I'm not going to bring a word. We're just going to kind of just go through it and respond. Father, I humble my mind this morning, my understanding and thoughts. I bring them under your lordship. Thank you that I'm not poor or have a poverty of spirit any longer, but I have the richness of your life in me today, the richness, the fullness of your Holy Spirit in me today. I thank you, Jesus. And God calls you blessed this morning. That's pretty awesome. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. There's two things there. One can be a natural mourning, where you're in a situation. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We know the Holy Spirit is the comforter, and he can comfort where there's mourning, where there's grief, where there's pain, where there's shame, where there's been hurt, where there's been something that has cut into your life in some way. It says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. They will be healed. They will be made whole. They will be set free. God's comfort is more than an arm around the shoulder. God's comfort is the power of his Holy Spirit at work in your life. If you know there's been a cutting of something that has caused shame or pain or some kind of rejection in some way that has caused you to have an implosion of something in your life, in your emotions or in your mind or the way you see yourself, it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. He doesn't say, because you're mourning, you're blessed. He says, you're blessed because I'm going to relieve you from your mourning and comfort you, free you, and bring deliverance from that thing in your life. So if you know this morning you've been cut in some way on the inside of you, and there's been shame hanging over you, there's been some guilt, or there's been things cutting into your life, this morning God comes with his Holy Spirit and brings comfort. Just abide this morning. We can all abide in his comfort this morning, in his freedom. But if in particular area, if you know you've been rejected in some way, there's been some kind of shame or pain or guilt or something, just give that to the Lord right now. Father, if you need to ask him to forgive you in some way to do with something in there, just say, Father, forgive me for whatever it is. But just give the whole situation, the cutting, the hurt, the pain, whatever it might be for you personally, if this is relevant to you. Just give that to him right now. Father, I give you that situation. I let it go. If you need to forgive somebody, I forgive. I let go right now. The Comforter comes right now and relieves you from that shame. The power of the cross has already accomplished the work so that you can be relieved from that pain, from that rejection, whatever it might be. Father, I thank you. A number of people, God is just working in the room this morning. It might not be relevant for everybody, but for some. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you can just feel it's like a weight that you've had in your mind and some guilt. You just feel like weight is lifting off your shoulders this morning. It's like a sense of heaviness is just being broken from your life this morning and lifted off you. So and you're going to be able to lift your head up, you know, and look at the Lord now instead of feeling like that there's a shadow over your life in a negative way. Now you're not going to have a negative, dark shadow over you. You're going to be under the shadow of his wing. And when you're under the shadow of his wing, you can look up knowing he's your protection. He's your strong tower. He's the one you can run to, not feel like you've got to hide from because of some negative shadow. God brings you out of that and into freedom this morning, out of mourning and into being comforted, into being made whole, into being made complete this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's liberty and freedom in here this morning. Maybe God's doing it in a different way, but that's great. We want to go with how God wants to bring life and freedom this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed are the meek. Listen to this one. For they will inherit the earth. Wow, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who humble themselves. Blessed are those, yeah, who are gentle in heart. For they will inherit. Wow, that seems opposite, doesn't it? To inheritance. Sometimes, you know, you think if we're going to inherit the earth, we're going to have to rise up and we're going to have to roar. But actually God says, no, those who just humble themselves. It says, those who are meek, those who are gentle, they will inherit. Wow. I think all of us could pray through this one, where there might be any hardness of attitude, or we react or respond, or something rises up within us when somebody says something, or we're in a conversation and we react and all of that. And let's just all pray through that for a minute. Father, by your Holy Spirit, work that gentleness in a deeper way that I've known before. If you know, even in the last few days, you know, in a conversation, you suddenly found a bit, you found yourself wound up a little bit. Just deal with that, because that's a reaction, not a response. If something triggered a negative reaction, or you're emotionally, you got a bit annoyed, or you lost your patience, or, you know, it's like, oh, you know, and it's like, Father, I thank you that you forgive me right now for wrong reactions, for getting angry, for reacting, for getting aggressive or edgy, losing patience, whatever it might be. It's very practical stuff. Father, forgive me where I've been like that, where I've been edgy with my wife or my husband or my friends or my kids or with work colleagues, whoever, whether they're saved or unsaved. Father, I want to inherit every promise that you've given me. I want us as a people to inherit every promise. So, Father, I just humble myself afresh this morning, but I thank you that you are my gentleness. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, as I abide in you this morning, as we just remain in you this morning, thank you that that gentleness begins to flow through my life in a fresh way. I thank you that edginess is replaced by your gentleness. You know, gentleness isn't a soft thing. It's very strong, but God's strength expressed in a very gentle way. So, Father, I thank you that instead of edginess, instead of reaction, thank you that you're gentle, instead of anger or bitterness or something that just comes out or responds or rises up within me, or my initial thought is, ah, you know, whatever. Father, I thank you that you work in me right now. I thank you for that fresh release of your gentleness. And I thank you, Father, for inheriting the earth. inheriting your promises into my own life personally. I thank you for the promises that I inherit in my family. Thank you for the promises that I inherit in my church as the body that I'm part of. Thank you that I inherit everything that you have spoken about as I walk with you and as I seek to walk in that gentleness in your nature. We're talking about the nature of Christ this morning, aren't we? Being evident in our lives and through our lives this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love this next one. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Look at this. For they will be filled. Come on. How many of us want to be full and overflowing with the Holy Spirit? Well, here's the key, according to Jesus. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Not just right standing with God, but the righteousness of God. Who he is, his nature. Hunger and thirst after who he is. And that's what God, that's one of the things God's just doing during these 30 days, 40 days. There's a greater hunger and thirst that is at work in your life and in my life. There's something that is growing on the inside of you. There's a thirst. I want to drink of you, Jesus. I don't want to drink of other stuff that can actually detract from being full and overflowing. I don't want to eat of things in my life that, not just food, but whatever. I don't want to eat, just eat of certain things in life that are going to detract from living in the fullness and the overflow of your life. It says blessed, happy, overjoyed, abundance for those who thirst and hunger for righteousness. It says for they will be filled and overflowing, the fullness of life. You're full of the Holy Spirit in that sense, but yet that fullness overflows as you thirst and you hunger because you're feeding on something that will satisfy your soul, your whole being. Because when your spirit is satisfied, your soul is well. When your spirit is feeding and drinking of him and eating of him, his word, his life, his love, his goodness, as we've heard, as we walk with him step by step, as we feed on him, it goes well with your soul. Your mind isn't in turmoil. It isn't in kind of, what's going on? Your emotions aren't left, right, center, and all over the shop. There's a stillness of God, a rest of God, where your emotions are stable because the Holy Spirit has his rule and reign in there in your life. Your body isn't nervy and isn't tense and isn't under pressure and all of that because there's the rule and reign of God going on, because you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. You're drinking of him. You're eating of him. And that's what becomes strong in you then. What you eat, you become. Father, I just myself, I don't know what anybody else is praying at this moment, but Father, I choose to hunger and thirst after your righteousness, after knowing you. I thank you, you got me in this place in these 40 days where you're reviving, you're re-stirring, you're reworking, you're doing stuff. Father, I love it. I thank you. Some of it's been a challenge, but I love it, Father. I thank you for the joy, the freedom, the liberty. I thank you, Father, for the peace in my mind and in my whole being. Father, I thank you for the longing that is at work and growing and rising on the inside to know you in a fresh way, to get off the beaten track, to kind of just have to trust you in a greater way, to live in a place of dependence more than I have before. Father, just carry on doing that work. But I choose to continue to drink of you and eat of you and thirst after you and hunger after you, Jesus, because I want to walk with you closely, intimately. I want to be somebody who hears your voice and hears the nudge of your Holy Spirit, just sensitive to that still small voice that quickens and that little leading of your Holy Spirit. I don't know where it might lead, but you know, but I trust you to lead me in the way that you want me to go, the way that you want us to go as a people. Father, I thank you for working in me. I want to live that full and overflowing life. I don't want to live a half full, half empty, half measured thing. I don't just want to be full. I want that abundant, overflowing life, Jesus. So your joy is overflowing. Your life is overflowing. Your love is overflowing. Your mercy is overflowing. Your grace is overflowing. Your patience, your faithfulness, your graciousness, your kindness, your forgiveness that just flows. Father, you say here, if I hunger and thirst after righteousness, I will be filled. Filled with who? Filled with you. Filled with your spirit. Coming through my pores or my whole being, as it were. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's so good to know you, Lord. So good to know you, Jesus. It's brilliant. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Wow. Father, I want to be merciful. If you know you haven't shown anybody mercy, you've been quick to judge or condemn or make an assumption, whatever, just bring that to the Lord right now. God is merciful to us, isn't he? He's that merciful servant. Jesus gave that story, didn't he, of two guys, one had a great debt, one had a little debt, but they were both let off. The story when the woman came in with the alabaster jar and she was pouring perfume on Jesus and washing his feet with her tears and all of that, and the religious guys were upset and everything, and the tax collectors were there, they were, what was going on, and if you knew who this woman was. And he said, hey guys, two blokes, one had a big debt, one had a little debt. You might see, think if they both got let off, who's going to be the most grateful and thankful? And they said, well, the guy who's been let off the big deal. And he said, yeah, that's right. Those who have been forgiven much, they love much. Those who have been shown mercy, they show mercy. Father, I ask you to work in me in a deeper way to be more merciful. Thank you for your eyes, your heart for people, no matter who they are. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is rich in his mercy towards us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Are you all right? You doing okay out there? A couple more. Is that all right? I hope you're talking to the Lord, just praying. You might have sat down. You might be standing up. But just walk through this. We might have a dynamic atmosphere now, but actually it's great, because when you're at home, unless you've got a CD on with a great atmosphere, you know, if you just talk to the Lord sometimes, you know God's there. It doesn't, might not feel like an epic moment, but actually, you know, God's at work in me. God's doing stuff, step by step, step by step. Blessed, I love this one as well. I love them all, actually, but I like this one as well. Listen to this. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. How many of you want to see the Lord? Oh, Father, I thank you. You know, though he who has a blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Father, I thank you that you are my purity. I thank you that you are my purity. If you know there's any issues in that way, you're struggling with some stuff that today, at this point in your life, areas of impurity, areas, whether it's a sexually related thing, a pure heart also can be attitudes towards other people. It's purity isn't just that physical kind of thing. In your mind, your thoughts, attitudes, all of that. David cried out, didn't he? Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Every day I say to the Lord, God, I want to live in purity today. I want to walk in purity today. With right thinking, right understanding, the way I see people, look at people, whoever they may be, young or old, male or female, friends or somebody I've met for the first time. Father, I want to be open to having a right attitude, right heart. I want to see them, want to be merciful, gracious, but I want to have a pure heart, Father. Those who have a pure heart, they see the Lord. God's working that in us during this time. And we're having a greater revelation of who he is. Look at this next one. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. It's amazing. Jesus saying, blessed are those, blessed are these, blessed are they, blessed are whoever. But each with each blessing, there's something different that happens as a result. So, you know, but all these things are not just for, well, this is for that person and that's for that person. Jesus is saying, no, this is you. This is who you are as a person. All of these people, because yours is the kingdom of heaven, because I am your comforter, because I want you to inherit everything that I've given you, because I want you to be full and overflowing, because I want you to be showing mercy, because I want you to see me and know me, and I've called you to be a son of God. So I want you to live in the fullness of that sonship and who you are in me. So blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who have right relationships. Blessed are those who are at peace with one another. Blessed are those who are the bridge for making peace. Blessed are those who bring others to the Lord, who make peace with God. Blessed are those who win people, who see people saved. That's what he's talking about. Blessed are those who enable others to have peace in their lives, for they will be called sons of God. Why does he say that? Because in God's kingdom, if we're sons of God, we produce after the Father. You've got God's DNA in you. You've got the DNA of God in your life this morning, today. And so therefore, you're going to reproduce after the one that is in you. And because you're a son, you're going to reproduce other sons. You're going to see other people birthed into the kingdom, other people getting saved and added into the kingdom of God, because you're a son, because you have his DNA, his life in you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be, I don't know, you want to pray now, Father, I want to be a peacemaker. Father, I want to be somebody who leads people to you, who sees people come to know you, who can make peace with you. Father, I want to be somebody who's a bridge between others and you. I want to make sure I've got peace with others so that myself I'm at peace. And if you know you're out of sorts with anybody, this is important. The word says here, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. So there's something about walking and living in that sonship, which is about being right with one another and also bringing others into the kingdom. So if you know there's any, you've got to make peace with somebody, then just talk with the Lord firstly with that, because there's always actions to making peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just talk to him wherever you are. Thank you, Father. You might need to forgive. You might need to let go. But you see, during these 40 days, God is addressing loads of different things in our lives because of what he wants to do in us, but what he then wants to do through us, what he wants to do around us, what he wants to do amongst us. And so God's doing he's doing quite a deep work in all of our lives. Not in a difficult way, but within that, he's creating a new hunger and a thirst. God, I want that. I don't want to be un at peace, you know. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Thank you, Father. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute and falsely say all kinds of stuff, all kinds of evil or negativity or rumors or backstabbing or whatever or against you because of me. Rejoice, it says here. That's how you deal with this one. This isn't necessarily, what Jesus says here, if that's going on in your life, you know, he says here, instead, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecute the prophets, they persecuted them who were before you. So firstly, if you're getting persecuted or somebody's having a go at you, firstly, rejoice. Maybe nobody's getting any of that. There's not a lot of rejoicing. But, you know, if you know you're having a tough time in some way, give thanks. Say, Father, I thank you that I'm being persecuted. I thank you, Father, that I'm being given a tough time in the middle of this. That's what Jesus said. He says, rejoice and be glad. Father, I'm glad that somebody's having a go. I'm glad that I'm being persecuted. But, Father, I thank you that you turn it around for your good and for that person's good. I thank you that you turn the whole thing around so that you're glorified out of it as I rejoice in the middle of it. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to get negative. If you have in some way, just cut the bitterness off this morning. Cut any resentment off this morning if you know that's happened in you. Just make a decision like that today. I just cut off that bitterness that might be just trying to root in there. I uproot it now. I uproot any bad attitude I've developed. I uproot all of that stuff right now so the soil of my heart is tilled, is free from that kind of stuff. And instead, I'm going to put that seed of rejoicing and gladness in there. And I choose to rejoice over the whole situation. I choose to exalt you and your word and your name over it so that you're released into it for something to happen that turns it all around. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God is good, isn't he? Is everybody still awake? We're doing all right. But then look, this is brilliant what it then says next, what Jesus says, because there's always a flow to what Jesus says, isn't there? He always says something for a reason. And so he says, blessed are they, blessed are those, blessed are whoever. Why? It tells us in verse 13. So the first things we've read now to do with the heart, and now this is the fruit, this is the outcome. You ready? Then Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Wow. So what God is doing as we respond is we become more flavored, more salty. Yes. Amen. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? So he's kind of saying, blessed are the poor. If you stay poor in spirit, then we're not salty. If we stay mourning, we're not salty. If we stay unhungry and unthirsty, we're not salty. If we stay unmerciful, we're not salty. If we stay impure, we're not salty. So he's kind of saying, guys, but I've blessed you. Here's the way out of it. Here's the way to live in the fullness. This is what happens as a result. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses it, how could it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. What is that all about? A city is about a light. And so what we just read about being blessed, we're saying, God, this is where I'm at this moment. I'm on a walk with you. I'm on a journey, but I want to draw closer to the light. I want to live more fully in the light. What does Jesus say? You are the light of the world. You're like a city on a hill. So that the more you respond, the closer you walk with me, the brighter that thing shines. The brighter that city on a hill is, the more it will draw men to me. Say, I want to be part of that light, whatever it is, because they see we're blessed in different ways. We're set free from the inside cutting of life that can go on. We're free from whatever it might be happening in us. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. No, God is doing it so that his life can shine through us in a much greater way. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. They don't even just put it on a table. They put it on a stand. And so it's high up, so it can be seen. So it gives light to those who haven't got any light. Your life and my life, I forget where it is. I think it's in Isaiah chapter 8, I think, or 6, or something like that. I think it's Isaiah, where he talks about the people that are with him, we're like a sign and a wonder. Or sign, it's like a signpost. And basically, it's like we're a sign to God. And it's like you and me, we're like these whacking great big blue motorway signs, you know? People are driving along, and if there's no motorway signs, they haven't got a clue which way to go. They're guessing. So do I turn off here? Do I turn off there? Is it the right way here? Whereas when you have a big motorway sign, it's a sign. People look at that and go, well, I can read that. Right, now I know where I'm going. But they've still got to make a choice to respond. Am I going to go in that direction? So what's God doing? He's working in our lives. So we're signs. We're people of light, so we're signs. And people read our lives and say, right, that's the way to go then. That's the way to be merciful. That's the way to be gracious. That's the way to be loving. That's the way to be kind. That's the way to be healed. That's the way to be healthy. That's the way to have a destiny. That's the way to have a purpose. That's the way to have hope. That's the way to live life. That's the way to have joy. That's the way to health and wholeness. Come on, that's what God's doing in our lives. You put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. Your light shines in the workplace. It shines in school. It shines when you go shopping. It shines when you're lying in bed with the duvet over you. It's still shining. Let it shine before men so they may see your good deeds.
Yes.
And what's the result? They may praise.
Yes.
Somebody's only going to praise God if they're saved. So what does it say here? As we respond to God, these things happen. We're light, we're salt. But it says here, your good deeds, and then they praise your Father. You're going to see people come to know the Lord, because loads of people are then going to praise God. Don't you think it's good what Jesus says? Are you ready to worship for a bit now then? I think we're going to have some spirit-filled worship now. Is that all right? What's the time? 11:45, but we're all right. Is that okay? Do you want to stand? You know, I've been using these to go through. It's great, you know, just as a help, you know, each, you know, when you get up in the morning. And just pray through these or respond to these. You know, give the Holy Spirit space to real practical things here. But I've been saying, God, you say your mind's the kingdom of heaven, so I want to live in the good of that. I want to live in your comfort today. I want to live in your wholeness today. You say that I inherit the earth. Today I choose to live in the inheritance of every promise that you've given. I'm not going to wonder. I'm not going to err. But actually, you've said these are the promises, so that's what I'm living for, that's what I'm going for. Do you know what I mean? You just remind yourself, get hold of it, and it's like it just encourages you. Begin to pray through the word, faith begins to stir up in you. You begin to then think in a different way, walk in a different way, live in a different way, speak in a different way, hope in a different way, believe in a different way. Because what you're doing, you're feeding yourself on something that inspires the Holy Spirit's life on the inside of you. Is that okay? Just turn to somebody else saying, you look better now than you did 20 minutes ago. Are you ready? I think we should just praise God for a few minutes, yeah? And then just kind of flow into just exuberant kind of expression of thanksgiving, worship. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And so we're going to praise the Lord. Use a song. I don't know what song, but a song. Just to praise the Lord. But when we come to the end of it, take over. So these guys are like, oh, wow. Okay, we'll just kind of join in with everybody else then. Yeah, rather than the other way around, where it's like, end of the song, what's going to happen next? Just let's take over. Let that exuberant praise and worship, adoration just flow out of your inner being from the depth of who God is on the inside of you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And so you might find some of the physical ailments begin to drop off your body today.
Amen.
Not your limbs, but things that are not right. You don't suddenly find, oh, I haven't got any, oh, where's that gone? You know, it's not that. But illnesses, sickness, ailments, pains, aches, things that are trying to work in you, as we exalt the Lord, we're feeding on something that overcomes those things, and they have to drop off because they can't stay when the power of God is at work in your life. So come on, let's celebrate God's goodness.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.